This is the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. And in this episode of the show, I'm going to bring you Paul Beam. Paul Beam is coming to us out of the state of Texas, and he is doing something very powerful to help men figure out who they are and who they need to be. His project is called True North Man. And in our show, he is going to tell us his thoughts on being a man and leadership. So I'm excited to get to it. Let's buckle up and go for a ride with me and Paul Beam from True North Man. Hello, thanks for tuning in to the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. The Upgraded Life is my personal project where I help people realize and reach their potential. I've been a professional helper for 20 years. Here's what I'm convinced of. The life that you have right now and the life that you want tomorrow is a product of your personal mindset, mission, and movement. Each episode of the Upgraded Life Podcast is going to give you something that you can do as soon as the episode is over to upgrade your personal mindset. Your mindset informs your mission. Your mission tells you how to move every single day. And together, that is the Upgraded Life. All right, we're here with another episode of the Upgraded Life Podcast. It's going to be my first episode of 2021 recording. Got several other in the hopper there that I'll be pushing out in 2021 for sure. But this is my first actual podcast interview for 2021. So I'm excited for that. I'm even more excited to have Paul Beam on the show. And you're all going to get to know Paul and what he is about and what he's doing. But just a quick little intro. Paul Beam is coming to us out of Texas, and he created an organization, and I'm going to let him tell you all about it. But this is a direction. This is an organization. He's on a mission that really aligns with who I am as a person and all of the things that I have going. So I am pretty excited to have Paul here so that we can just share some ideas. I can get to know him more, know more about who he is and what he's doing. And the organization that he started up is called True North. And under that, there's a lot of different things going on under True North. So I am very, very blessed and excited to have you, Paul. Thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for having me, brother. Really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to our conversations.
Yeah. So tell me about True North.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, brother. Love to. So first of all, True North started at the end of 2015. I was in college. I was attending the mega church, and I just noticed that there was a lot of men both in the church and in college that they're quite frankly they were just needing some dude time, for lack of better words, you know. You know, you and I kind of discussed this, but whether people are of faith or not, whether they go to church, believe in God, whatever, that's beside the point. The reality is, I believe everyone would agree, or mostly everyone would agree, that we are the sum of the people that we surround ourselves with. And I knew that as a man that had walked a path of destruction for so many years, that my behaviors, my habits, my patterns, my mindset, everything about me was about to have to undergo some major reconstruction. And the only way to do that was to surround myself with men who truly knew how to be men and that were living the life that I felt like I wanted to live. The life that, quite frankly, I had told myself all my life, you know, I told myself I was one man, but my behaviors, my actions did not support that. And so that's what I call the integrity gap, right? Just saying we're one thing and living another thing. And then in the middle is that gap. It's that integrity gap. And quite frankly, for me, and I know it probably shows up for other men in the same manner, but it was selfishness at the end of the day. And all of my selfishness hurt not only myself, but hurt the people around me that I was telling myself I loved, and that the people that I was telling them, I loved them. And so anyway, True North, I realized while I was going to school, studying, some biblical stuff, doing biblical studies, doing leadership studies, doing communication studies and psychology, and then going to church, doing discipleship programs and so on and so forth. I was like, there's a real need here. First of all, I have these young college kids that, because I started college a little later, I was a little older than them. So they kind of looked up to me as like their mentor. But at the same time, they were breathing life into me. They were giving me new energy, right? That youthful energy. And so it was just, it was blessing for me to be able to be around these guys. But I could also see that, some of them were living the life that I was living at their age. And, they had the same mindset. They had the same behaviors and, or at least patterns that I could see that could potentially lead to burnout and to destruction. And then I had these other guys over here in the church that I looked up to. But at the same time, as wise as they were and as cool as they were just boring. Right. And they needed new life breathed into them. And so I was like, man, how can I bring groups of men together? Because the church wasn't doing it. They would have women's retreats every year without fail, but they weren't having men's retreats. And so I just took it upon myself. I said, well, my wife and I had just purchased 12 acres out in Florence, Texas. And I said, man, I'm going to use this. I'm going to take advantage of this. And, so I was like, I'm going to see what I can throw together. And I just started, it was word of mouth. I just invited a bunch of guys out. I think we had about 15 guys, 12 to 15 in and out, that night. And it was only one evening that we spent together. I cooked some barbecue for everyone, did some campfire, songs. And, you know, just went around the campfire and kind of shared stories and testimonies and challenged each other, encouraged each other, lifted each other up. And I realized that that was something that could probably be continued, you know, endlessly. And I was like, there's a real need here. And so the next event was a little larger. I think we had 20 some odd people. And that was like a one nighter, had everyone come out and camp out. And from there, it's just kind of grown to where now we walk men through this process over the course of an entire weekend. And it's a process of really starting to extract and pull out and identify those identity or those integrity gaps. Like how, like I'm walking around in this life. I feel a little bit aimless. I feel a little bit lifeless. I feel like I don't have direction. I don't feel like I'm just experiencing the joy and the fulfillment that I want to experience or that I should be experiencing. So what do I do about that? Right. How do we get through this? How do we get to the other side to where we feel that fulfillment, to where we feel like we're truly living a life of purpose? And so we walk men through this process. And by the end of the weekend, they have a plan that they walk away with. And, you know, so we cap these events at 100 men now. But that's kind of a long answer to your question. Basically, yes, we have True North that started in 2015, and it's the umbrella. It's the 501c. It's a nonprofit right now. And that's the umbrella for our events, which are, we call Man Camp.
Love it. So much there that we can dig into for sure. But let's back up a little bit and have folks get to know you specifically a little bit better. And I took in, I think, episode number one for your podcast. And so you and I are similar in age. I'm 77. I think you said you were born in 81. Yeah. And, you know, as I was going into, as I was finishing college, you were probably going into the military there.
Yeah. So I was in the military from 2000 to 2004. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was really close to going into the military as a ways of, you know, initially as a means to pay for college, and, yep, you know, other things kind of came my way, and I opted not to go that direction. But mm-hmm. definitely, you know, was potentially right there with you as far as that goes. And I had some decent scores on my ASVAB, and I couldn't get recruiters to stop calling me, you know,
yeah. And, I like those guys who have good scores.
Yeah. You know, fairly athletic at that point, being a, you know, three sport athlete and, you know, 5'10" and 185 pounds, you know, and so,
yeah.
But, you know, our paths, you know, come to us for reasons, and that's one of my path and whatnot. So, so you have a wife, do you have children?
Yeah. Actually. I mean, that's part of my story as well. Right. Like, I have three biological sons, with my first wife, and then I've now been married for 6 years to my second wife, and we have, she has two daughters. So together we have five children. My oldest son is attending Texas Tech University. Mm-hmm. Our oldest daughter is attending A&M. both super, super great kiddos. And then my middle son, my youngest son attend high school or school at Richland Springs here in Texas. And then our youngest daughter attends school at Burnett Middle School.
So you're a busy man.
Yeah, you know, we're because my boys live with their mother, we're not as busy as it seems when we say we have five children. Mm-hmm. Because we only have one in the house with us. Mm-hmm. Sophie, that's our youngest daughter, and she's super easy. She's very quiet, keeps to herself, and she's an introvert for sure. So anyway, she's super simple, and but yeah, we stay busy. You know, Leela works from home and I work from home. So, we always have something going here. And then there's always going, you know, like my son, tomorrow, actually his team is playing a state championship football game.
Oh man.
So last year it's a really cool story. Last year, my oldest son was a senior and my middle son was a freshman. So they got to not only play in the state championship football game last year together, but they won it.
Nice.
And then so their team is back at the state championship this year, which is another story. So that they were supposed to have already played at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Well, the team that they're supposed to be playing, I guess a couple of their players ended up testing positive for COVID. So they had to postpone the game. And it just so happens it's tomorrow. So I'll be headed out to San Angelo for their state championship game.
That's exciting. My boys are football players as well. And I have two boys, and one in high school and one in middle school. And, you know, up here in Oregon, all of that's been shut down. So we may get a short 7 week season in here towards the spring. Oh, no, they're going to start up soon. Actually, I'm sorry. They're just going to find out this week, when to report and when practice is going to start. So
that's great.
Yeah. But to hear other states are handling this differently, you know, it's like, it's been definitely, a hit to our system here to not be able to do sports like we're used to. So,
yeah, it's been an interesting 2020 was definitely an interesting year. So look forward to seeing what 2021 holds for us. But I tell everyone, you know, that I talk to, like, if we adjust our mindset right in the right way, 2020 was exactly what it needed to be for all of us. Mm-hmm. We can take lessons from it, and we can use those lessons, we can extract those lessons, we can take them and we can apply them to 2021 and move forward and know that we came out of 2020 stronger. Mm-hmm. With some growth. And so that's what I'm choosing to believe. I'm excited for 2021, not just because 2020 was so unpredictable and crazy, but just because I just feel like I have a renewed sense of, like, dedication to different processes that I put in place. And so anyway, absolutely. Man.
Yeah. So one thing that you said, or a lot of things that you said that caught my attention, but one thing in particular was, you know, you made the statement that, and I don't know for how many years, but for a stretch of time, you were attending this mega church. And I understand what that is, because I'm a believer, and, mega churches, you know, typically pull 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people every Sunday, five services and all those things. So I get that. So you're going to this mega church, and yet here you are looking around and seeing that they've got things for women, they've got retreats for women, but you didn't see much going on for men. So within the church, why do you think that is? Like, why does that gap exist? And I don't think your story is an anomaly. I think it's something that's pretty pervasive. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. And I've been a part of churches for a long time. You know, I've had the privilege of working with pastors and, you know, just really kind of getting to pick their brains. I don't know the exact reason, though, but I do have some speculations. And like you said, it's not unique to just one or a few churches. This is a problem among churches. Definitely is not focusing on their men, especially when you speak with pastors and you hear the statistics that state if you get the man involved, the man of the house, the husband, the father, if you get them involved in church, the statistics show that the entire family is more likely to join the father figure, right? And so why are we not focusing more on men, especially knowing that men have such a profound impact in the world, in leadership, in business, everything? Why are we not pouring more into these men? Well, great question. I don't have the exact answer. I do believe it has somewhat something to do with just that life makes it much easier to, it seems like it's much easier to get women on board with doing the work in the church, with serving. They have that servant heart more than a man does. And so there's a different way that you have to attract men. Like, I don't know if you've read John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart.
Yes, sir.
But he says, women are tired and men are bored. Well, if women are tired, why is that? It's because they're overworked. They're over-serving. Okay? So that right there tells you that women naturally have this tendency to serve and to give of themselves, to pour themselves out for others and help others. Whereas men, I think we have this natural tendency to, because we're considered the protectors, because we're considered the providers, we have this tendency to become more focused on our family and our immediate sphere. And then the boredom part, right? There's a whole boredom part. How are we attracting men in church? Like, if we're just singing 30 minutes, doing some praise and worship, and then you're having the pastor get up there and do a 30-minute sermon, and you're sitting in these pews or these chairs, whatever. Now these mega churches have all these nice fancy chairs, right? Like, you're in your comfort zone. Like, there's no challenge in that. There's nothing appealing about that other than the word, other than learning and gaining knowledge and wisdom. And that's great. That's awesome. But I personally believe that churches have got to become more creative in their approach and their tactics and strategies for reaching men. And if you don't have a men's ministry that's dedicated to truly reaching men's hearts, first and foremost, that's not good. Like, I don't know how many churches I've spoke with because of what I do. Like, I reach out to churches and I say, hey, send your men to us. I don't know how many churches do not have a dedicated men's ministry. There's countless. I bet it's 60-70% of the churches I speak with do not have a dedicated men's ministry or a dedicated men's pastor. And they use lay leaders. This is the other thing is a lot of churches will use lay leaders, and there's nothing wrong with lay leaders, but you get a different type effort from a lay leader because they're volunteers. They have lives outside of ministry. They cannot solely focus on just that ministry. Now, sometimes you'll be fortunate and you'll find a lay leader who is all in. Right. But those are few and far between. And so to circle back around and answer original question, I believe that churches are doing a horrible job of capturing men's attention. And there's a few things that I believe personally that I've incorporated into our events that capture men's attention. Number one, it's a trusted community. Knowing that you're around a group of men that are not there to judge you, but are there to, if you need it, kick you in the butt and tell you what you need to do differently to be better. Number two, to encourage you when it's time to, for encouragement. and then number three is equipping. We need tools. We need resources. We need the wisdom. We need the knowledge. We need steps. We need processes. So a trusted community is number one. And then within the trusted community is challenge, encourage, and equip. And then the other thing that men need, pardon me, is competition, healthy competition. Like John Eldridge in his book, and I'll keep referencing his book probably because it's such powerful insights in there. But he says every man needs a battle to fight, right? So why? Because we have that warrior spirit within us. We want to conquer. We want to create and we want to conquer. So if we're not conquering, if we're not competing, if we are not proving ourselves to ourselves, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. I'm not here to prove myself to you. I'm here to prove myself to me. I'm here to prove to myself that I have what it takes to do whatever it is in this life that I've been created to do effectively and efficiently. And that I have what it takes to make an impact. And I believe every man has that question within them. Do I have what it takes? And the only way to know if we have what it takes is to test ourselves. And so many men are afraid to step into that testing. So what do you do? How do we get men into that realm where they're willing to step out of their comfort zone and test themselves a little bit? Because the reality is a lot of men, they're stuck in their comfort zone. Well, it starts with that trusted community. Right. And so all of our events, for the most part to this point, have been word of mouth. There's been one man who's attended and been impacted by what we do out there, inviting another man. And that's what it's about, is a trusted community. And so if you and I are really good friends and I'm used to staying in my comfort zone, but you know that there's more in me and you see like that I've stalled in life somewhere that I need to step up, you know, and then because we're good friends and I trust you and you invite me into something that's going to challenge me a little bit, like a mountain trip, a 5-day mountain trip where we're going to summit this 13,000 foot peak. Well, typically I wouldn't do that, but because of my relationship with you and because I trust you and because I enjoy hanging out with you, I'm probably more willing to go on that trip. Right. And so, circle back around now. So a trusted community, and we need to be challenged. Right. We need to be challenged. And churches just aren't doing that for men. First of all, if you're not having men's events, then you're not having guys around community. They walk through the front door. Some dude that they don't even know shakes their hand to greet them. They go sit in the chair. They might see someone they know, especially if it's a mega church. You might or might not. I mean, if you attend a regular service, you'll get to know people around you. But the reality, here's another reality, is just because I see you once a week on Sunday does not mean I'm your good friend. It just means I know you, kind of. We don't truly know each other until we start hanging around each other and building that camaraderie, building that relationship, until I start opening up to you about my struggles with my wife or about my struggles with what you name it. Some dudes struggle with porn. Some dudes struggle with alcohol. Some dudes struggle with, infidelity. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But we're not truly friends, and you're not a trusted person in my sphere unless I can spill my beans to you and know that you're not going to abandon me or ridicule me, but you're going to do one of those three things. You're going to challenge me because you know that I'm better, or you're going to encourage me because you see that I'm down and that I need some encouraging. And then you're going to help me. You're going to help me figure out a plan, a solid plan of attack that I can implement to step out of whatever junk it is that I'm in. And so just sitting in the pews every Sunday doesn't work. That does not work. It's not going to happen that way.
Yeah. And isn't there some tremendous irony when you are, you know, in bless you for doing it, right? But here you're knocking yourself silly to try to figure out and how to fill this gap. But there's some irony if people would just look at the way that Christ mentored, what, 12 boys himself, you know what I mean? And equip them and encourage them and challenge them, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's there's some irony that it's all there laid out for us, but yet I don't, you know, we're not seeing it for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and that, you know, something you said really resonated, just 12, right? Just 12. So what does that tell you as well? That what that tells me is of Jesus, the example, right, only poured himself fully into 12 people. How many people can we truly pour ourselves into? And so that's like 2021 for me is all about really narrowing my sphere of influence and finding those guys who are ready. They're just as dedicated as I am at, for lack of better words, like they're dedicated to getting rid of the bullshit excuses, and they're ready to truly step up and invest in themselves because they know that that is going to be the catalyst for making an impact in their families' lives, you know, their friends' lives, their communities' lives, their business, you know, their business associates' lives, so on and so forth. But yeah, that, you know, for us to really sit down and say, okay, who's going to carry me further faster, but who also can I carry further faster? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't, at the end of the day, we don't have the capacity or the bandwidth to surround ourselves with so many people that we're just trying to give, because that's the other thing is, back to loving ourselves. If we're just continually pouring out and emptying ourselves, at some point there's nothing left to give. So we have to keep filling our cup. Once again, we cannot give what we do not possess. If we do not possess the energy to give to someone else, we can't give that energy to someone else, whatever that looks like in whatever capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, then, you know, the things that you described in terms of what's missing, you know, from a man's life and what you're trying to do to add those things. And maybe I just heard the answer. But there's a whole slew of men who aren't even aware of this in their own life, right? They don't see it, and if they're not aware and if they don't see it, then they aren't really receptive to it. But yet, if you were to look at outside looking in, you look at their life, you know, obviously the need for these types of relationships and experiences, you know, are desperately apparent, but a lot of men, and I'll dare say most men, aren't even aware that there's something missing from their life. Number one, or number two, that there's an answer for it out there. Do you agree with that? Or your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. That goes back to the trusted community. Because the reality is we all have blind spots. Every single one of us. My wife calls me out on stuff all the time and it pisses me off. Right. But the reality is, if I'm honest with myself, she's right on some, she's not always right. That's not to say that we have to listen to everything everybody has to say and take it to heart, because not everyone is always right. But the reality is, the one thing we can all agree to is we have blind spots. And if we don't think we have blind spots, well, then we're arrogant. And really, there's no helping us until we're just brought to our we're brought to our knees somehow by something that's so tumultuous that we finally surrender. But back to that community part, we have to have a community around it. We were created for community. That's the bottom line. There's no one in this world who does life alone. Maximally live life secluded from everyone. It takes a tribe. And so we have to make sure that we have people around us in order to ensure that we are paying attention to the blind spots. They can call us out on stuff. And I don't even know if that really answers your original question, but
yeah, it's how do you get people to see the voids that are in their lives, okay, yeah, that they're constantly mm-hmm. tripping over, you know, and they're causing, you know, and not even necessarily causing people. I mean, I guess it always causes pain, but even to this piece of you were meant for so much more, right? And men settle for what's easy, what's comfortable, what's quote unquote safe. And I think a lot of that has to do with the advances of technology and the advances mm-hmm. in our society, you know, speaking specifically here in the US. I mean, let me look at, as terrible as COVID is, right? And I don't want to downplay, I work in public safety. And so there's several people that I know that are direct reports that are dealing with, you know, legitimate COVID in their face. So I don't want to downplay that. But at the same time, I don't know where I don't know exactly where you live and, you know, how much contact you have with your neighbors, but I see the grocery truck coming up the lane almost every single day and dropping off groceries at this house, dropping off groceries at that house.
Yep.
That's crazy. I mean, to think 10 years ago, Paul, if he said, hey, you know, I'm all out of milk, I'll just, you know, dial up the app and have him bring it out to my house. We would have thought there's no way, but, and that's what I mean by, you know, we've added so much ease and comfort that for men, it's really eroding them in terms of, like you said, that warrior spirits inside, right? If the biggest decision that a man has to make is, do I watch this football game on this channel or watch this football game on that channel and have to compete between two different channels? If that's mm-hmm. the biggest decision you have to make, then you're not really awakening that warrior spirit, at least not in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Life has become a lot more simple, right? The evolution of technology and everything, quite frankly, is just, it's making our lives very simple. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. I think there's, it's great, right? It's good that we can take advantage of utilizing these technological resources, these services that are being offered, right? That's the cool thing about these services is somebody's profiting off that. Someone's feeding their family off that. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've evolved in these different areas, and that's great. And so I think as men, though, we do have to realize that, well, I think there's a couple things we have to think about. But in regards to life being simple and comfortable, we have to realize that as men, we're not meant to stay in the comfort zone all the time. If we do, we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting those around us, because once again, it goes back to we're not just proving ourselves to other people. We're proving ourselves to us. And if the only thing that I have to worry about every week is calling in an order to a grocery store and having someone deliver it, and I just get used to that lifestyle and I never go out and test myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, well, I mean, I'm kind of I'm just growing stale, mm-hmm. right? Or stagnant, and I'm not growing. And one thing that I like to tell men is you're either growing or you're not growing. Mm-hmm. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You can't just sit in the middle. If you're growing stagnant, you're growing sick, you're growing nasty, you're becoming a stinky, you know, puddle of muck. But if you're growing, even if it's a whole James Clear, right? Atomic Habits, 1% better every day. 1%. That's it. That's all we have to achieve and attain. But if we're not achieving that 1%, we're going backward. And that's no good for us individually, and that's no good for the people that are around us. Because if I'm not becoming a better man each and every day, well, then that's not encouraging and living the example for others to become better people every day.
Absolutely. So you're a father, you're raising boys. what's your message? You know, what's your encouragement for other fathers that are raising boys? Like, you know, what are things that you would have every father be doing with their sons?
Yeah. Spend time with them, right. Be present with them. Listen to them, listen to even the silliest stuff. It may seem silly to us because we're adults and our minds have matured over time. Whereas children, their minds haven't quite matured, right? They're not mature. So that sometimes they're still thinking these funny, what seem appear funny or silly to us, but the reality is that is their reality. So we have to be willing to live in their reality with them. And we have to shift our mindset a little bit to say, well, that's, you know, from saying, well, that's kind of silly, son, to maybe engaging in that a little bit. Like, just because we're adults doesn't mean we can't dream. Doesn't mean we can't play. Doesn't mean we can't have fun and pretend. I mean, come on, as men, we pretend anyway. Oftentimes we put on this mask, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm the successful business guy, or oh yeah, I'm this tough guy, or, you know, men walk around pretending all the time. So why not pretend with your child, with your children, if they're younger and their minds are exploring and being creative? I mean, so my advice is be fully present and let them have their moment. Right. Like, I've been hunting with my youngest son now a few times this season. Well, the first time we went hunting, I took my bow just in case we seen something. But he took his rifle, and the point of the hunt was for him to hunt. And I wanted him to shoot his first buck. OK, so sure enough, he got his first buck, and that was cool. It was such an awesome experience for him to be able to shoot his first buck with me, especially since he has been hunting with his mother and her boyfriend all season long. Mm-hmm. Like, he shot a buck, or shot at a buck with them, and it got away, so he didn't get to retrieve it. So, you know, there's that chance, because they no longer live with me. There's always a chance that they're going to experience something with someone else that I would like for them to experience with me. Mm-hmm. And so I cherish that moment that he got to shoot his first buck. We got to retrieve it. We got to field dress it and then take it to the processor. I cherish that moment. Well, we just went hunting the other day again. And so he's at, because you can only shoot one branched antler buck that is beyond 13 inches in width. So if anything, he should have been shooting a spike or a doe. But there was a really nice buck that walked out, and I was like, I knew that I didn't even take my bow this time. And so I knew that I was just going to let him shoot. And because his nice buck walked out, and I was like, okay, he's proved that he can do it once. I'm going to let him use my tag and shoot this buck. And that way he can claim it, you know, and perfect shot. We were able to harvest the buck again, field dress that. After he shot the buck, we sat around for a little longer, and I ended up harvesting a doe. So we went together. We picked them up, threw them in the truck, took them down out into the pasture, field dressed them, then took them to the processing plant. But basically what I'm saying here is I gave my shot to him. Used to, I wouldn't have done that. I would have said, okay, you already got yours. Here's a life lesson. Mm-hmm. It's my turn, you know, but no, I was like, no, I want my son to feel accomplished. I want him to feel confident. And so what I work on doing now for my sons is setting them up for, not for failure, but for accomplishment, mm-hmm. setting them up for success. How can I set them up to win? Mm-hmm. and so be fully present. Experience the experiences with them, create memories, and set them up to win. We don't always have to be right. Just because we know sometimes that we are correct about something, sometimes we have to let them experience failure on their own while we're there to support them in that failure. And I've done that a lot here over the last couple of years. You know, my boys will make a certain decision. I know it's not a good idea, and it could lead to undesirable outcomes, but I'm there, and I know that it's not a detrimental, undesirable outcome. And then when the undesirable outcome shows itself, don't say, I told you so, or, well, yeah, I was thinking this. No, like, that's just telling, that's basically just kind of beating them down. What you do is you say, okay, well, let's figure this out. What happened? You know, and kind of walk through that process with them. We don't always have to be right. And I used to do that a lot. You say, well, I figured this was going to happen. Well, that doesn't help. It doesn't teach them anything other than how to be right. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of our problem nowadays. We feel like we have to be right. And that's what gets in our way, is feeling like we have to be right all the time. So anyway, man, there's three things there. Be fully present. Get on their level. And play, pretend, whatever you want to call it. Let them experience creativity in their mind, and enjoy that. Like, look at that as a memory for yourself to say, be able to look back and say, "Hey, son, you remember this when we used to talk about this? Remember when you used to say this?" The other thing is set them up for success.
Yeah, love it. And another piece of our story that I think is similar in, you know, what I'm about to say isn't something that somebody couldn't find out about you or me if you listen to our podcast. But, you know, I didn't have a strong father figure in my life. And, you know, I know your story in terms of your biological father choosing something different for his life in terms of his relationship with you. And so I think these kinds of conversations, you know, have a particularly different meaning for men like us, right? And
yeah,
when you're naming those three things, and again, in the way that you described your situation, I can sense a ton of grace and forgiveness and resolution, right? Mm-hmm. But when you describe those things, you know, I'm the same way with my biological father, but those things didn't happen with me, you know, between me and the man that helped bring me into this world. So
yeah,
doing it with my own sons, you know, there's always a little bit of, man, am I screwing this up? Because I don't have, you know, I don't know what it was like. And so sometimes that can be a barrier or a hurdle, but I just love the way that you laid that out. And of course there's some heavy John Eldridge themes in there too. Right. And
as you
were describing that. So I recommend that book quite a bit, Wild at Heart. And yeah, I think there's probably not a better resource around if somebody really wants a fun read, right? It's fun to read, but also, yeah, you know, getting right to it in terms of what's going on with men, what's going on with women, and some practical solutions for it. But you got to make time, you know, as a father for your sons. And I love that piece of finding ways to set them up for success. And yeah, I want to throw a concept out there to you and see what your take on it is. And the concept goes something like, I'm involved in several dads groups, whether, you know, in real life at work, you know, or online through some communities and mastermind communities. So this question will come up, you know, my son's going to do this, and I'm going to watch him do this, and I know it's not going to work out. I know it's a mistake, but I'm not going to intervene. I'm not going to help him because he needs to learn this lesson, and he needs to learn that dad's not always going to be there to make it right. And my response to that is, look, the world's hard enough. Life is hard enough. And as a dad, if I can do something to help him get through this moment, I'm going to do it. And we're going to talk about it. Like you said, let's have that problem solving conversation, because I don't want to run the risk of him falling into something knowing full well that I saw it the whole way coming and I chose not to say anything. Cause what is that telling him? And, you know, my belief is if we're pushing and challenging our children, our sons, particularly, just like you're laying out for men, then those opportunities for, gosh, how did I, you know, why did I get myself in this mess? That's going to come by default because life is hard enough. But as a father, you know, I think that it's my obligation to help them whenever possible. And I don't need to create a scenario where, you know, for something to unfold so that he can learn a hard lesson. Is that making sense to you, or what, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm following you. So I think what I hear you saying is that if you can talk to them and help them make a better decision, you feel like that's the way to go. Versus allowing them to experience.
And it's a simple scenario, like, this has happened in our home lots of times, right? It's, you know, I didn't give myself enough time to, you know, get prepared for the day, and I went to school and I forgot. Doesn't matter what it is. Forgot my jersey, forgot my cleats, forgot my helmet, forgot my school project, whatever it is. Dad, can you go home and bring it to me? Okay. Now there's some logic that says, no, son, you didn't prepare yourself. You're going to have to live with these consequences. Right. Mm-hmm. And then people will take that. Well, he's got to learn somehow. And, you know, my concern or my fear in that moment, am I not teaching him in that moment that sometimes dad can help, but he's going to choose not to. And then if that's the dynamic that's in his head forevermore, you know, my concern or fear is that he's going to bring less things to me. So that way he doesn't go, mm-hmm. has to go through that experience of rejection that dad's not going to help him. Does that make it more clear?
Yeah. Yeah. So my thoughts in that particular scenario, right, is what have we done beforehand? Mm-hmm. Because it's all about preparation. It's all about prioritizing. It's all about preparedness. And so what have we done to help him figure out that every day there's a routine that we follow that helps ensure our success for that day? And so have we helped him put a routine and process in place? Is the first question. And the second question is, have we communicated what the outcome is if he goes through the process and is successful versus if he skips a step? You know, have we communicated to him clearly that there is a natural consequence? And so I could see this going. I can't say that I'm sold either way. Mm-hmm. I can say that if people are not helping on the front end, set them up for success and clearly communicating the positive outcome, if you do it, if you follow your plan, and then the negative outcome, if you don't follow your plan, if we haven't done that, then yes, it is up to us to say, okay, yes, I will go back and grab your jersey, because we have not had this discussion on, well, you wake up in the morning, first thing you do is make your bed, second thing you do is brush teeth, then you get dressed, or whatever order, you know. Yeah. So, and then, so at night before bed, you're going to make sure your clothes are laid out for the day. You're going to make sure your book bag, your jersey, your uniform is in your bag or your duffel bag and by the door. So matter of fact, there's sometimes I'll even put stuff right in front of the door. That way, when I open it, like I can't open it without seeing it because it's in my way. And then because that's my reminder, right? And so if we've done our job in helping them set up a system, but they refused to do it or they skipped the step or whatever, how often do we? And the other thing is this something that happens continually, or is this just something that happened one time, right? Because there's a difference in a pattern of these behaviors and then a one-off, where it's truly just, oh, the morning was chaotic. For whatever reason, he woke up a little late. He didn't hear his alarm, or maybe even it's the parents' fault. Maybe it's my fault because, you know, I wasn't doing my part and getting myself ready, but also saying, hey, remember your checklist, you know? So is it a one-off or is it a pattern? If it's a pattern, I think at that point, we do have to start letting them experience those consequences. If it's not a pattern, and if it's a one-off, well, then I could see, okay, Yeah, I'm going to go get your jersey for you because I know that this morning was, it was just a random occurrence. Like, you do not do this all the time. And so I hear what you're saying.
And I loved your response, Paul, because I mean, your response is, you know, as a parent, as a father, these things are going to happen, right? And how do you work yourself through your own checklist? It's how did we get here, right? So I love that, that, you know, that as opposed to just you kind of reacting from your gut, like, you know, choosing right now, spur of the moment, this is when you're going to learn this lesson, right? Because then you have a whole nother conversation that you're going to have with the child based on why you chose it, right? And you're going to say, if it is that pattern of response that you're choosing, no, you're going to have to figure this out. You're going to have, you know, all these things like, look, have we talked about, you know, your daily routine and your nightly routine? And, you know, yes. Okay. So that's the reason why I chose not to bail you out versus, you know, coming in all, you know, huffy and, you did this again. So there's a lot of ownership in the way as a father that you that you described in your response. And, you know, I completely, you know, agree with that. And they're, you know, just for the listeners to understand, right? It's not like I'm always dropping everything and running to bail out my kids, because I remember one specifically, there was one time where mom and dad were both working at the time, and mom doesn't chose to step out of her career to help manage our family and whatnot. So, you know, we're blessed to have that be at play. But there was one time where mom was working and wasn't available, and I was on the way to another city, and it wasn't possible. It wasn't possible for me to have to be able to turn around and go back home to bail them out. And that was the kind of conversation. Like, look, mom and dad are going to be there to the extent of our ability to be there to help you and support you. And at the same time, you know, there's going to be some times where we just can't drop everything, you know? So that's what I mean by life is going to bring those opportunities to learn those hard lessons that I don't necessarily need to create them, you know, or I mean, or watch them unfold in hopes of, you know, learning the lesson. Life's going to do that anyway.
Sure. Yeah. And the more we can teach through these opportunities, right, the better off we are. And once again, it's all about, this is stuff that I still think through from time to time. I'm still learning as a father, but I've also learned a lot. And so, you know, I was divorced when my oldest son, I think, was 10 years old. And my middle son was 7, and then my youngest was, that would have made him 4. And so I missed a lot of valuable time with my boys at a pivotal age of their life, you know. And so I look back at that now, and I, you know, I can look at it one of two ways. I can look at it with regret and heartache and pain, which sometimes we do that. We can. It's okay to do that from time to time. But it's also important that we look back, no matter what your circumstances are, and just say, okay, what lessons can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. And what I feel men need to understand about me is I try my best to take complete ownership of every single situation in my life that is negative or positive. And that being a negative experience, I have spent many hours reflecting and saying, what could Paul Beam have done differently as a spouse and as a father and as a man in general? And then particularly pertaining to fatherhood, though, right? Because nothing from back then is going to change. That's the past. Okay. So we are where we are right now. And the only relationship that still remains is the relationship with my sons. So how am I going to show up? Well, I spent many, many hours saying, okay, what did I learn from back then? How could I have showed up different, even though I was divorced? How could I have been more present? How could I have been a better part of their life? How could I have been a better influence? What did I do wrong? And not just in life, what did I do wrong? But when I corrected Jeremiah for doing this, could I have corrected him differently? Could I have spoke to him differently? I mean, I've really, really looked through a magnifying glass, a microscope, at different ways that I've approached my sons in past. So basically what I'm saying is my life experiences going through all that heartache, all that, all the junk in the past, even though that was devastating and destructive, I believe now it has set me up to really think through these things. It has helped me be more cognizant and really think through how I can show up differently now as a father for them. And so when I'm talking about fatherhood, I get pretty passionate, especially when it comes to like being creative and making plans and thinking through this kind of stuff, because I know that it is not only helping me get back to my sons to where they trust me and where they respect me and admire me and have faith in their father. But I want to see other men have that connection. And so if it's a man who still has their nuclear family together, I want them to avoid all the heartache and pain that I ever experienced based on my failures as a father. And if they're in a certain situation where it seems like parenting is rough or they're just feeling down and out, I want to help pull them out of that. So that's my job, right? My job is to help, and I'm not saying just fathers, but my job is to challenge, encourage, and equip men. I want to speak life into men. I want to help them create a plan for their life that's going to help them be successful. And I only do that in so many areas, right? Because I feel like those are the areas that I have truly walked through fire. You know, I've been in the refiner's fire in those areas, vision, identity, purpose, fatherhood. You know, there's quite a few areas there that God has really like used to shape and mold me as a man. And it's just my duty and my job to give back to other men and help them. And so now I digress there. But going back to parenting, at the end of the day, we're here to serve. And if we're not serving our children in a manner that is setting them up for success, we're failing. And so I believe you're absolutely right. There's that mindset that we can instill where they don't trust us to bring things to us, or where they may back off and say, well, yeah, dad's not going to bring my jersey. I know he's not, you know, that's just the way it is. So there's a balance. There's definitely a balance. Like, what do we allow them to experience? And what do we, for lack of better words, what do we save them from? You know, and I believe that is case by case. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that if men are going through that, I would definitely love to hear everything surrounding it. And then, yeah, you know, a plan of attack can be created.
And I think if there's one constant or one absolute in this conversation, and thanks for having it with me, is do the after action, do the debrief, you know. Yes. Walk them through. And again, that doesn't mean to show them that you're right, because they may bring you a whole nother, yeah, perspective that you didn't think about. Right. But it is, yep, have that follow-up conversation. You know, part of my training is I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of, yeah, Oregon. And so, you know, helping parents become better parents is something that I've done for a long time. And, you, nice, know, there is this idea that we have to be perfect, that parenting has to be this perfect process. Otherwise you're going to screw up your kids. And that's just not the case. Number one, that's, yeah, going to, if that's what you think from the get-go, and then you're sunk. But it's more important to follow up around these scenarios and situations, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly is have that after action, have that debrief, gain the perspective. You talked about getting on their level, right? And you do this when everybody's calm, right? Nobody's foaming at the mouth and snot running out of their nose, right? You do it when you're calm, yeah, and you just talk about it. And so that, mm-hmm, way they can learn from you, and you can learn, more importantly, probably you can learn from them as the children. They're the ones that are receiving your parenting. So we ought to get some feedback on how it's going for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a couple things that if we could communicate to our children very clearly, it would take them a long way in life. Number one is life is messy and we are all human. Therefore we are all imperfect. And so we're going to face adversity, but the counterbalance to that is we are overcomers. Mm-hmm. And we do have the power to take ownership and learn and grow from our experiences. So to teach our children that life is going to happen. It's not always going to be roses and lollipops, so don't expect that. And you're not entitled to that. But also know that you're an overcomer and you can get through whatever it is that life throws at you.
Absolutely.
So if we can teach our children that life is messy, but we're overcomers, I think that'll take them a long way. And then the other thing is, just like I was talking about a community of men, it's super important that our children trust us. Mm-hmm. That they know, super important that my boys know, hey, like I need to go to dad with something. Like I have this problem at school with my friends or, whatever it is, like they did something wrong. Maybe they experimented with marijuana. They need to know that they can come to their dad and their dad's not going to beat them or, whatever. They need to know they can come to their dad and say, dad, I did something that may not have been the best and I want to talk to you about it. That is trust when they can start coming. And then that is pivotal for a whole new type of relationship that is an edifying relationship and that is truly wholesome and truly fulfilling for the rest of their life and for the rest of your life. So it's trust, man. I want my boys to trust that they can come to me and they don't fully trust me yet. I can be honest. I can say that. Those are certainly things that I've been working on. And the last couple of years, I can honestly say that I've made leaps and bounds in my relationship with my sons, Right. And so I would love to see other fathers experience that same thing.
Absolutely. Paul, we're getting ready to head to the final segment, if there is a segment to my shows, but I think in my head that there is. How do you define success for yourself? Like, or, when you're working with other men, you're a coach and you're a certified coach. What does success look like? How do you define success? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that is a great question, man. I think personal success is revelation. It's having this revelation about ourselves that allows us to shift things in our lives. And so let me give an example. For me, for instance, I had this revelation that I was truly didn't know who I was as a man. And I was looking to other people to solidify my identity. I was looking for other people to tell me who I was. And therefore, I was engaging in behaviors that were just random and all over the place and not really true to who I was. And so when that revelation came to mind, I was able to look at it and say, okay, how do I do things differently? And so going a step further than revelation is then knowledge, saying, okay, I have this revelation. So what do I do about it? I need to read a book. I need to go to a counselor. I need to go seek out a coach. I need someone who can help me understand this one particular revelation and how things can be different. So how can things be different if I truly tap into who I am as a man? First of all, how do I figure out who I am as a man? Once I know who I am as a man, what does that mean for my life and how I operate? And to me, that is success. It is having revelation and being able to work through the weaker man within and become stronger.
Love it. And then legacy. What is legacy to you? What is the legacy that you are building? What's going to be left behind when Paul Beam is is taking his final breath? And I know that's a morbid question, but I know a guy like you, that isn't something that takes you off, you know, off mission. Right. And, right. And it's something that when you have your identity, I mean, that day is going to come and there's not a whole lot that you can do about it. I know that you are fully aware of that. And so that's why it makes it important every day to be on mission. So what's the legacy that you are creating? What's going to be left behind when you're no longer with us?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great question. And, I believe a lot of people would probably, you know, fall on legacy and say, what am I building? What business am I building? What kind of possessions am I leaving behind? What kind of business am I leaving behind for my children? For me, legacy is a little different. As a servant, right? As someone who truly believes that I am here to edify and uplift people, speak life into people, legacy, my legacy is going to be the impact that I bring to people's lives. My legacy is solely going to rest on the number of people that I bring life to through my words and actions and the degree to which their life has changed as a result. So my legacy really is about me doing exactly what I've been created to do. And that is speak life into other people and help them change their life for the better. And if I can do that with my organization to the degree that it starts producing some sort of revenue or income that is a sustainable business, that can be left for my children. Awesome. You know, that's great. That's just icing on the cake for the legacy. But the legacy is the degree to which we impact other people's lives, not with possessions, but solely from a standpoint of helping them live a better life.
Amazing. Thanks for responding. Those are not always easy questions to get asked. So the final one, Paul, is what's your take on mindset? And based on your take, what can you offer the listeners of this podcast in terms of something practical that they can do to upgrade their own mindset?
Sure. Yeah. So for me, this is something that, let's see, I was in a communications class with a professor. His name is Dr. Green, Eric Green. He was a mentor and we are now like brothers. Matter of fact, I was just texting back and forth with him yesterday, but this class was all about contemplation. And the one thing I took away from this class is silence and solitude. So we've got to get away from all the noise of life. We've got to get to a point where we can be alone with ourselves and reflect. And the purpose in reflecting is to figure out who we are as a man and how we're operating in the world. And then figuring out if who we are as a man and how we're operating in the world are the same thing if they're lining up. Because if they're not lining up, well, then there's an integrity gap. And then we have to figure out what that integrity gap is. We have to say, okay, what's going on? What's, you know, who I am and what I'm doing are not exactly matching up. So what do I do about that? And so what was the original question? I'm sorry, sometimes I get...
No worries. Yeah, you're going there in terms of
mindset.
What's your take on mindset?
Yeah, mindset. And so, mm-hmm. So for me, mindset is going to start with identity, mm-hmm. figuring out who we truly are as people, as humans. I don't know if your audience is all men or if it's men and women. So I'll just say people in general. If we don't take the time to truly figure out who we are, then our mindset. Our minds are all over the place. Our mindset cannot be set on anything wholesome because it's just trying to cling to the next best thing. Now, when we truly know who we are and we're secure in our identity, our mindset begins to become more secure. We know exactly who we are. We know exactly how we're supposed to show up in the world. We know exactly what our impact is. And that in of itself is a catalyst for confidence. It's a catalyst for growth. It's a catalyst for impact and everything. So as far as mindset goes, I believe it all starts with reflection, finding that silence and solitude to spend time with yourself and really ask serious questions.
Love it. And so to break it down just a notch or two, practical wise, you know, for somebody who's listening to this, and there's going to be lots of somebody's that are going to listen to this, and they're going to be thinking, I don't know who I am. I don't know what my identity is. I want these things that you talked about in terms of confidence and resilience. But what does it mean to have silence and solitude? What is Paul talking about? What does that practically mean for somebody?
Yep. So I think, okay, let's just give a practical step. Mm-hmm. What you're going to do is you're going to find probably, let's start simple, 10 minutes a day to actually sit and reflect, to think through a couple questions. Let's make these simple questions. Who am I and how am I going to show up today? Mm. So take 10 minutes every day, say, who am I as a person? How am I going to show up? And then at the end of the day, take another 10 minutes and say, how did I show up? Did it match? Did I show up the way that I told myself I was going to show up? And if not, well, then you can ask, okay, what happened? What got in my way? What threw me off track? So that's one practical step that we could take as far as silence and solitude. And then, we can take this to extremes, right? Like I did a 96-hour retreat by myself where I went out to our ranch and I fasted for 96 hours and I read and I prayed and I thought and contemplated. And so there's tons of different ways that we can do silence and solitude, and then we can truly start making creating these reflective moments. But a simple way is to simply take 10 minutes at the beginning of your day and 10 minutes at the end of your day and ask yourself those questions. How am I going to show up? How is this day going to, who am I and how am I going to show up? And then at the end of the day, say, how did I show up? And if you showed up exactly how you said you were going to show up and you represented exactly who you said you were going to be, well, then you're good. If not, well, then you have to ask that secondary question. Why? What got in the way? Mm-hmm. What threw me off? And I hope that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's
as far as identity, how do we find our identity? This is one of those questions that we could probably wrap on for a whole nother episode, but for me personally, how do I determine who I am? There again, it goes back to that reflection saying, who have I been in life? How have I been showing up in life? And has that been fulfilling for me? Do I have this sense of fulfillment? Am I okay with the way life is right now? And if I'm not, well, then I know that something's got to change. And we have to ask ourselves, it's kind of like vision casting, right? It's like, what do I want life to look like? You know, do I want to be a good husband and a good father? Do I want my wife to feel secure and loved? Do I want my children to feel secure and protected and taken care of? Okay, well, if that's my vision for my family, well, who does that make me as a man? What kind of man do I need to be to help them feel secure and loved? Well, I need to be a protector. I need to be loving. I need to live with unconditional love. So what does that look like applicably? Well, when my son is getting on my nerves, I don't snap. I speak to him like he's a young man. I say, son, what are you doing right now? Like, why are you doing that, buddy? Like, that's kind of annoying. And let me explain why. You know, so instead of just popping him upside the head and saying, stop that, stupid, or whatever, you know, stop acting like a little turd. You know, that's not how I want to show up. I want to speak life into people. And so how do I show love and speak life? Well, that's for each individual to determine individually. But if that's what I desire, well, then that starts helping me tap into my identity. If that's what I desire, why do I desire that? Because it's a core component of who I am. If I want everyone to feel a certain way when they're around me, that's a core component of who I am. So this is the other thing, is if I want other people to feel like crap, then there's something internally off, because we're not here to make people feel like crap. And that's just my true, honest belief. Like, I don't believe that there are too many people out there that would say, I want other people around me to feel like crap today. And if they do, well, then there's probably some internal work that's got to be done more on a professional level, right? Probably with a counselor, psychologist, or psychiatrist, something like that. But for the most part, I think there's a seed within inside us as, okay, I've got to take this to a spiritual level, right? Our Creator created us in His image. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about the Creator. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about ourselves. The reality is, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Well, God is a Creator. God loves us. He sent His only one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we would not be damned. So that because we're turds, because we're imperfect humans, because we sin and we fall short, we still have the opportunity to live in union with Him, in relationship with Him. Why? Well, because He loved us enough to make that sacrifice, to send His Son, to live, to teach, to be the example, and then to ultimately die on the cross and be resurrected from the dead to conquer to conquer death, right? And what is death? Death is sin. And so as the created being, being created in the Creator's image, I have to know who. I can only speculate that I'm here to love. I'm here to live, learn, lead, and love. Okay. And so if I'm here to love people, how do I do that? Well, God loves us unconditionally. So if I'm to love people unconditionally, what does that look like for me as a human? I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. I'm imperfect. So I've got to wrestle through that. I've got to wrestle with that myself. And so the reality is, for me, when I'm walking people through identity and uncovering their identity, I always, always have to reference Scripture. I always have to take it from a standpoint as you're a created being. And here's what the book of life has to say about created beings, even though we are imperfect. Just because we're imperfect does not mean that there's not good within us, that we do not possess good qualities and gifts. And so anyway, when you start tapping into identity, it can get kind of convoluted. I'm sure you know, you've probably done this many times, but it's certainly a process, and it's not an easy process. So I think as men especially, this goes back to that whole idea of comfort, living in our comfort zone. It's uncomfortable as hell to start doing some self-reflection and really answering questions honestly to ourselves about who we are and how we show up. It's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. It's the only way to growth. It's the only way to fulfillment. It's the only way to everlasting joy. It's the only way to live a life that is edifying and uplifting and life-giving to other people, which ultimately, I believe, is what everyone is here to do. Now, the route in which we take to do that, the methods and the means and all that is going to be different from individual to individual. But at the end of the day, if we're not speaking life into people, we're being takers. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Man, I feel like I just said a whole lot for one simple question, and I don't even know if that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And, you know, there's a saying that I came across many years ago. It's from a duck hunter from the South. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, if that didn't light your fire, then your wood is wet. So I appreciate you, Paul, for sharing from your heart there on that topic of identity and where that actually comes from. It's very, absolutely, very critical. Yeah. You know, inevitably, there's going to be people that are going to come across this conversation. They're going to say, hey, I want to know more about Paul Beam, and I want to know more about True North, and I want to know more about Man Camp. Where can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the only two social media platforms that I really stay active on is Instagram and Facebook. Facebook is simple. It's Paul Beam. And Instagram is Paul Beam Official. And then they can find more information about True North and our events at, this is a long one, bear with me, true-north-ministries.com. And soon to come will be another website that is my LLC, which is True North Man. I'm not going to give that information right now because it's not available. I haven't launched that yet. So just true-north-ministries.com. You can email me at paul@true-north-ministries.com. My contact information is on the website. It's on my social media pages. I'm not hard to get a hold of. If anyone feels they would like to walk through vision, identity, purpose, if they feel they need a plan of action for their life and how to kind of find their direction, I'm here for that. If they know they need some change and they need to change their ways, their habits, their patterns, I'm here for that. I help guys with that as well. Just so we're clear, I do stick strictly with men, only coach men. That's my platform, and that's kind of what I stick with because that's what I know best. Not hard to find. Look me up on social media. You'll find my email, website, phone number, all that.
And you have a podcast as well?
Yes, I do. It's the True North Man podcast. Yep. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're probably operating across the major podcast platforms, I would assume.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. iTunes, Spotify, whatever other ones are there. It's on all the major platforms. Yeah,
absolutely. So I would encourage folks to go check you out on the podcast as well. It's something that you have recently launched. And for those of you that benefited from that, you know, as all of us podcasters will do, ask you to leave a 5-star review and give us some written comments about what you took away from that particular episode. That really helps in our podcast efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. That goes, people don't realize it, but that's how our podcasts grow, mm-hmm, is through those ratings and reviews and downloads. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Nick's absolutely right. Please check both of our podcasts out. Give us those ratings and reviews and continue to share the message that quite frankly, changes lives. People listen to podcasts to learn, mm-hmm, so that they can implement things into their lives. So absolutely, not just our podcast, but there's tons of podcasts, mm-hmm, out there that are great podcasts and a great tool for growth.
Absolutely. Paul, this has been fun. I have benefited personally just from listening to you and just knowing that there are other men that are in the gap, right? And I consider, mm-hmm, us both in the gap in terms, yeah, of what we're trying to do. And it was just a blessing to have you on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Nick, appreciate it, brother. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it. That was Paul Beam. If you are excited about his project and what he's doing, look him up. He's got a podcast, he's got a website, and he's offering those camps for men to go and just, again, figure out more about who they are and who they need to be for their families and for their communities. Today is March
1st of 2021. That's when this show is going to go live. So that means that the first quarter of 2021 is almost done. We got a month left, and then quarter one is done. So my question to you, for those that are listening to this, is how's it going? How has 2021 been treating you? What did you learn from 2020? Or maybe you're still stuck. Maybe 2020 still got you around the ankle and you're dragging that big old ball around with 2020 stamped into it. I hope not, but I know some of you are. And I know 2021 hasn't really been off to that great of a start. I know in my area, we just got hit with a big ice storm. And I just only a couple days ago got a tree off my house that's been leaning up against it. Some of the damage that got caused by the ice storm. Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is don't let 2021 get away from you. Go back to the goals that you had for yourself. Go back to your New Year's commitments, your New Year's resolutions, and make a plan. Get after them. That's something that I can help you with. That's something that Paul Beam could help you with if you reached out to him. If you need help, don't do it by yourself. Reach out. For me, you can schedule a strategy session where I give you 30 minutes of my time. And my commitment is by the end of that 30 minutes, you will have a plan. You'll have clarity about your next steps and what you need to do. In order to find that strategy session button, or in order to find out more on how to connect with Paul Beam, you got to see the show notes. You got to go over to my website.
Hey, as always, to get the details on this show and to find out more about this guest, head over to my website. My website is www.nicksotelo.com/TUL podcast, the Upgraded Life Podcast. While you're over at my website, don't forget to check out the three opportunity buttons at the very top. They are scheduling a time with me. I'll give you a free 30-minute strategy session. Checking out CBD products from Nature's Ultra. And then also, if you're looking to create an additional stream of income, I can help you out with that too. This takes 20 minutes of your time. Click on the button that says Income Boost. Give me your name and email, and I'll send you a presentation. Thank you again so much for listening to my show, the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm dedicated to this show because I've seen too many people live a life that just really wasn't about realizing and reaching their potential. So if you listen to this show and you were somehow, some way inspired to take action, let me know by going over to Apple Podcasts, leave me a 5-star review, and that will tell me that you enjoyed the show. This is Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm urging you to do something today to realize and reach your potential, and I'll catch you on the next show.